This is John McEwen on syndicatednews.net. This is the Americana Music Show. And since it's all about music, it's not always about just who's playing what. It's how to find their music. And on the line today, you guys identify yourself. You're with My Song Store. And who do I have?
You have Richard McCluskey, CEO and CTO of My Song Store.
And?
Gene Goldsmith, president and co-founder of MySongStore.com.
And why did you guys, a few years ago, go after this quest to make an internet site for people to acquire music of new or known artists?
From my perspective, I was an artist, a performer, unsigned band, doing well, got an accolade for my album, but couldn't actually get it in the hands of people who I thought would be interested in buying it. I met Gene, who had an idea to move this kind of thing, and we were kind of in the right place at the right time. To me, it's more about letting the artist actually sell the music themselves in their own way and not have them beholden to companies that are trying to take their revenues.
So let me ask you, Gene, how is this accessible? What does it do? Sure, they can get the music, but who makes money from it?
We're musicians first, and far too many times labels, middlemen, intermediaries, whatever you want to call them, have had their hand out and really make a lot of money off the backs of the musicians. So, you know, years ago, I came up with the idea of My Song Store. Our philosophy from the beginning is, how can we make this so the musician makes the maximum amount of money from his artistic endeavor? So in our particular case, the artist receives 85% of the download revenue. He can sell the music at any resolution, and more importantly, he can set his price at anything he wants. You put this sales widget on the artist's website, and they sell directly from their website.
So when somebody is on their website and they see the artist has this widget that says My Song Store, they go to what they think is the artist's website, or it still looks like they're in that?
It's on the artist's website.
One of the things that we've come across is trying to explain in quite simple terms a very simple process that has been somewhat skewed by previous attempts to solve this problem. If I may, John, let me sort of draw us back a bit and try and explain this. If I'm a band today, I have music, I am performing, I build my website, and I spend hours every day trying to get people to come to my website. I go and play shows, I hand out cards, I tell everyone about my website. And that's a lot of energy I'm putting in, driving fans to my site. And most bands, when they then want to sell their music, they can't get in and do it like bespoke or custom. So they think, oh no, I'll put it on iTunes. So they go through a whole series of hoops to put their music onto iTunes, and then all their hard-earned fans that they've worked so hard to get to their own site, they then send them direct to iTunes to buy this music. So in fact, all the work that the band has done has simply been to become a funnel for another company. And that company, iTunes, may sell that artist music. They have very clever ads on sites like that. So more often than not, the person who's arrived there from maybe my band's site will actually buy something from the flashy ad or been reminded of something else. And their search mechanism is notoriously terrible, so we're not always going to get found in iTunes, even though I've sent people there. This to me struck me as a very bad idea. If I drive fans to my site, I want people to buy from me, to download from my page, and to not leave my website. I don't want to spend all that time and effort getting people to me to go and hand them off to somebody else. Previously, we had no choice. Now, with companies like My Song Store, you have a choice. And you can sell the music directly off your own site. It's the evolution of the digital, of the sticker, the band sticker. Well, now you can do a digital sticker on someone's website. Not only do they see your band's name and your logo, they can click on it, listen to your music, and buy it and pay you.
Would an analogy such as this be an explanation? Let's say Starbucks started like they did 40 years ago, but they went into all of the Safeways and Gristedes and Ralph's, all the grocery stores around the country, and had a little Starbucks section, and they got really popular. Well, all they're doing is bringing traffic to the grocery store and getting tied down in doing that. whereas you have the equivalent of everybody can have their own Starbucks kind of store and bring people to it.
Right. And I think there's a good tendency a lot of the time to try and find some sort of brick-and-mortar analogous situation to what's happening online. And I think sometimes they all kind of fall down. Walmart, for example, would be an equivalent brick-and-mortar version of iTunes. But you can't really walk the aisles and browse.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no requirement anymore for one person to travel 20 miles and go to a shop that has everything rather than travel 10 times 5 miles to go to 10 different stores. On the internet, it's all there. Problem is, most of these large companies do take advantage of that.
There is no traveling.
I can go to my own website just as fast as I can go to Walmart or iTunes.
And with iTunes, often the resolution isn't as good as what you can deliver. Is that still true? Or is iTunes 128 bits per second is a normal iTunes download? Is that still true?
Yes, that's true. Again, iTunes is more about serving iTunes. Tries to dictate everything. I don't want the artists who work to serve me. I want to serve my artists the same way as when I was a musician. I wanted to serve my songs.
Mm-hmm.
So we turned the artist. If you want to put up the highest lossless compression version of your song, do so. If you want to charge 99 cents for your song, 69 cents, or $9 for your song, do so. You want to put it up as an OGG or an MP3 or any other format you like, do so. It's the artist's music. The artist should have the right to dictate its price. Imagine if some company came in and decided what price everyone's car should be sold by. There'd be an uproar.
What is the highest level major artist that you have? Don't you have the guitar player from Guns N' Roses or somebody like that?
Tracy Guns is an artist who's used our system. We have highest selling is a guy by the name of Skip Haynes. Used to be in a group, Haynes, Alioda. They had a top 40 hit in the Chicago area in the 70s called Tripping on Lakeshore Drive. Well, with the blizzard, he redid the vocals, snowed on LSD. He also charged $2.99 a song, and people went to his website and started looking at his back catalog, and bands getting back together again is, say, behind the music moment.
You told me, I remember a couple of years ago when you were getting this underway and just started, that I believe it was Tracy, he'd sold an album and he ended up, well, of course the numbers were higher, but as an example, that one album, he made something like $9 from it.
Yeah, actually, it was quite funny because Tracy owns his masters. He was the original founder of LA Guns and then met up with the Hollywood Roses and connected with them and formed Guns N' Roses. And then he went off and did LA Guns again. But he owns his masters. So when he sold a CD in the store through the labels, he was making between 90 cents and $1.14.
Which was considered, that's considered the normal amount that an artist makes if they get the royalty accounting 9 months later, and they haven't deducted a bunch of costs like broken records, which is still in most contracts, a 10% reduction, also a reduction for packaging, which is still there, or in the case of an artist on a label, if you're getting a 15% royalty, it's quite often the case that if it's an internet and electronic downloads or sale, your royalty rate is reduced by half. And
Right. That's
not always the case, but it's often the case. For some reason, when the company doesn't have to handle a physical product and ship it and stock it and all that and saves a lot of money there, they take twice as much.
Yeah, and what was funny is when Tracy did the math, he sold an album for $16, $17 and he would have got $1 for through the labels. And he made $14.95 through us.
You said he practically cried over that.
Yes, he was laughing. He just laughed to the point where he was, I can't believe this is possible. How are you doing this? it was quite funny. He didn't understand. And he said, you know what? This is insane. This, all it does is make him a little more unhappy about the situation that was going on before. Going forward, this new change is where the music industry will go. Because the music industry, to me, is still trying to tell people that they'll spend $3 for a cup of coffee, but they won't spend a penny on something that their life is lived by, their music. And that's not right. And I think eventually people will come around saying, you know what, I do value this music, but I want the money when I pay it. I want it to go to the person who made the music. I don't want it to go to some fat cat sitting there where he's got a slice of someone else's slice of someone else's slice. And with a system like ours, the artist gets the money.
Quite often what people don't realize is when a record comes out on a label, and say the label is Warner Brothers, and a few years later, that same song will come out on Warner Curb. This may not happen anymore. I'm not sure Warner Curb still exists. Well, that means that interior, when you see that for the people that are listening, that means that inside the company, they sublicensed it to a secondary label, and they cut the royalties in half. And it just happens. And it's possible that that can then get sub-licensed again to where a song that might have earned the artist a dollar will end up maybe getting them 10 cents because it will be licensed to a best-of collection that's on a sub-label of another sub-label.
And, right. It's famously called Hollywood Accounting.
Gino, how is it going? Are new people coming on? How do you tell people about this?
We're right in the process of pushing our new system live as we speak. And we're supposed to go live 2 weeks ago, but you know the way those things happen. I was down at South by Southwest, and I was handing out a promotional sticker. And it basically said, F-star-CK iTunes. My songstore.com, the future of indie music distribution, gave out close to 5,000 of them. Everybody was laughing. Everybody said, yeah. You know, the hell with iTunes. And we've had a lot of interest and a lot of emails. And, you know, this thing has gone viral on the internet. And, you know, it's word of mouth. It's our philosophy is we're musicians helping musicians to earn money. It's for a monthly subscription, which is good for about 20 songs or two albums today. And most people are doing, you know, six song albums if it's a digital album. It's $3.95 a month. For $6.95 a month, you can do 50 songs, roughly 8 or 9 EPs. More importantly is we have a contract with Harry Fox Agency, and we clear mechanical royalties for the digital downloads.
Now, for people that don't know what that means if you, the listener, has a song, you have a great version of a song like, whatever, Yesterday, and you record it and you put it out and you sell 1,000 of them, you're going to have to send the publisher 10 cents for every copy that you sold, whoever the publisher is. And that is not an impossible situation, but it means you, the person selling it, has to file a mechanical license, is what it's called, and submit it. You're not going to be refused. It's something anybody can do. But you are also liable for accounting for the number of sales you've made and paying on the publishing. And what Gino is telling us is that my song store handles that publishing payment for you.
That is correct. When you upload a song to our system, you then request a license. We send you to the Harry Fox database. You have to give us some information, and sometime over the next 5 business days, the license is cleared on a pay-as-you-go basis. When you sell the song, the 9.1 cent for royalty for a 5-minute or less song is taken out of your 85%, and once a quarter we pay Harry Fox. And again,
for those that don't know the music business publishing side, and if you're listening and taking notes, this type of process can be explained by a book written by Randy Poe called The Songwriter's Guide to Music Publishing. And it's where the money goes with music. The publisher collects money for the writer. Sometimes the writer is his own publisher. It used to be never the case. The publishers like United Artists Music or EMI Music would publish everything their artists put out. And quite often what would happen, and you guys are aware of this, but the audience may not be, is a record company will only allow 10 songs on an album to be paid for publishing-wise. They don't want to spend more than a dollar, well, 91 cents, paying out to publishers for songs that are not needed. In other words, if you do 12 songs, you put on 2 of your own songs and 10 other people's songs, you're not going to get any money. If you put on your own songs, there's a phrase in the record business with companies called controlled composition. That means that the guy in the band wrote the song. We're not going to pay 9 cents because it's controlled by you. We're only going to pay 6 cents. So, and it just gets, they take it everywhere they can. My song store, from what you guys are telling me, is almost like these people hiring a record company and making all the money the companies used to make, in principle. Is that right?
Yes. We don't charge for the service. We simply do it so that artists can actually do these cover songs without having to go through all the hoops of applying for their own copies of the licenses and dealing with all those kind of things that are involved with that. And instead, they can upload a song, and if people like it, every time that the song sells, before the artist's money is allocated, we remove the publisher's amount. So mm-hmm. the artist can upload his song and not worry about it and know that all the money he receives is his or hers, and that the publisher has been paid correctly and in a timely fashion the right amounts for the sale.
How's it going with signing people up? Is it hard? How do people find out about this information? Where do they go?
The easiest thing to do is go to our website, which is mysongstore.com. Pretty much everything you could want to know about how we do what we do is right there on the site. Signing up is very easy. And we also post through Twitter. You can follow My Song Store and various sort of email systems. You can Google My Song Store and you'll find where we've been touching into social networking and things like that. But it's more than just about, and if you don't mind me touching on this a bit, John, there's a big change, I believe. There's a big change in what's happening in the music industry now. And in this social network paradigm, we have to find a way to allow our fans to help promote our music. We don't have labels out there pushing the advertising on the billboards anymore. They're not going to spend the money to do that. And as you say, it's very hard to find new bands. So really, we look to our social networks to help us find these new bands.
Well, Richard, can I interject
sure.
something? It used to be that somebody would go to a concert and say, hey, I heard this group last night. You ought to hear about them. They have an album coming out next week. And go check it out. You might hear it on the radio. So what's the new version? What's the My Song Store version of word of mouth of how somebody can spread that news? Do you have a widget you give them or what?
Yeah, the widget allows the artist to sell the music. But again, you've hit a very good point. How do people find out nowadays about this? Someone would go to a show, see a good band, then tell their friends either through work or through the group of friends that they hung out with after work and things like that. Now people hang out in these virtual environments like Facebook or Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be able to communicate, I like this band, through Facebook and through Twitter, these social media. Again, people, when they interact with this, that is what the modern people are used to. So using Facebook and Twitter and these things as a mechanism not only to promote the artist, but also to allow the artist to sell their music.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing better than the impulse buy. Someone says, hey, you should check out this band, the XYZ band. You go to their Facebook page or their website, you look at it, you go, I can listen to it. Click. Wow, that's really good. Buy it.
Gino told me that you have a widget, and for those that don't know, that's just a little square on the website that you click on to do things to get to My Song Store. But an artist can give the fan a widget that will allow the fan to actually make a percentage that they can determine. Is that still in effect? Is
absolutely.
That's like if you're a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band fan and you want to make sure somebody buys the record, you can send that widget around, and if they buy one, you'll make a nickel? Is it the fan will make money off the group?
Yeah. How good is that? So finally, it's not just you get the fan turning around saying, love my band, they're great. But the fan can actually turn around and help the band sell their music. The fan gets rewarded for these acts. So what it does is we've allowed, when you upload a song into My Song Store, you can designate a revenue share for that song or that album. And you can say, it's 10% of the price or 1% of the price or half the price, whichever, it's up to you, whatever you do. And when you sell, you put this little widget out in your website, you'll sell records all day long. A fan comes along and goes, I love this band. I want to put their widget on my website, on my blog. So they can click on the widget that's on your site, copy a bit of HTML, go add it to their blog, and give us their email address. And then what happens, every time someone buys from, let's say, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, they buy the music, but from Joe Schmo's web fan website, Joe Schmo will make the portion allocated for revenue share by the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band for that song every time that song sells.
That's like a miracle.
It's not going to make the fan rich, but you know what? He's going to feel involved. He's going to feel good about it. He may get a check or however PayPal payments and things like that. It makes him feel part of the band. And that's, I think that's a great thing.
That is exactly right. And
one of the things that Richard has not touched on, I do want to mention, and I'll ask Richard to explain the technology. Our widget is written in JavaScript. It's not written in Flash, which means it works on a smartphone. How would you like an Itty Gritty Dirt Band to be performing, and during intermission, you flash your website up on the screen, and you say, guys, click on my website and buy my music now.
From the phone.
From the phone.
Yep, from the phone.
In the audience.
In the audience. Instant gratification.
Well, when the word of this spreads, which I'm hoping I'm helping you do, I think you're going to find a lot of happy musicians and listeners and audience people and followers. And one thing I think that might be important to let people know is how secure, since this is being run by a couple of self-professed musicians, how have you determined it's secure for somebody to give you the credit card?
I'll answer that. I am, like most musicians, John being one of the exceptions that prove the rule, although I love to play music and do it, I wasn't successful enough at it to make a living. So I make a living designing technology and writing software. I've been doing it for a long time. It's a personal journey for me.
In regards to security, where did that lead?
Yeah, I've been doing credit card processing and experiencing online credit card processing mechanisms for about 10 years now, pretty much from right at the beginning of the internet's credit card processing times. And we have a series of technologies that mimic what's called a digital one-time pad. If you ask anyone who's familiar with cryptography or anything like that, they'll tell you the most difficult thing to crack is a password or a code that's only ever used one time because you have no repeating to which to try and match patterns. So we use a digital version, a mechanism of this, on top of highly secure certificates that we get from the reputable certificate suppliers, HTTPS, very high encryption technology, and also on top of that, we run this digital one-time pad.
Well, good. So people can buy the music and give the credit card, because one of the things about this, since it seems like you're still on the artist's website, you may not think, well, that artist, I don't want to give them my credit card number. They're just a new band. How do they know?
Right.
So when they go to my song store on some new garage band that's down the block, that they're actually going to a corporation that has bonding and security and stuff behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our certificates hold, it's just we've been able to develop our technology such that it kind of sits on top of the band's website. So that we're not, when you're purchasing music, you don't leave the band's website. You don't see advertising from anybody else or any of that distracting mechanisms that are all over the web nowadays. You just purchase quietly from the artist's own website, and our technology is such that it can sit on top of the artist's website, do what you need to do in the simplest possible and most efficient way, and get back to being at the band site.
What's the one most exciting thing that's happened in the several-year process of developing this? And we're talking about My Song Store on the Americana Music Show, because it's a very important aspect to people acquiring music that you hear, if people are part of it. But in the last few months, you must have had some, wow, we finally broke through here, or this is happening, or what's the biggest piece of news you got?
I think the success Gene had while he was at South by Southwest 2 weeks ago. I'll let him tell the story, but I'll preface it by saying that he phoned us up, I think, on his second day there, and he said, guys, it's our time. I could have walked down the high street naked here 2 years ago and no one would have noticed. But the stickers and talking about what we're doing, it's our time. And to me, that was like, okay, we're doing something right here because the people were loving it.
Mm-hmm.
And Gene, I'm sure you can fill in the rest.
South by Southwest is a meeting that happens in Austin, Texas for a week, where musicians, record companies, agents, managers, everybody that's ever swung a pick goes down there to ply their wares and try to get attention for the purpose of spreading music, songs, and all that. And what was your experience down there, Gino?
Well, you know, I had more fun. My son's band came in from California, so I was able to hang with my son for more time than I've spent, because he lives in Oakland, California. He travels all over the world. He tours as a bass player. And it was just a lot of fun to hang with my son. But just walking the streets, talking to people, showing them the sticker, very, very bright orange and black, and really, it really pops out. And just talking to people about their horrible experiences with iTunes made me realize that, you know something? We're doing this. We're on the right path.
Uh-huh.
I talked to some industry leaders. Again, everybody seems to feel that what we have coming out is really going to be the next thing. And, you know, the old joke is, well, we're an overnight success. You hear stories about people who mortgage their house, max out their credit cards. Well, you know, that's me and Richard. And we really believe in this.
Well,
this is the next great thing. The fact that we've exerted the effort and made this a real thing, and we've helped people. In our terms and conditions, we say that 10% of our profit goes back to the musician, any way we can help, be it scholarships, be it rebates, things like that. Because, again, we're the Fair Trade Download Service, and we want people to make money.
And let me restate that you give the artist 85% of what you take in, and out of that, 10% of your profit that you make as a company goes back into a good cause.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
You sound like a couple of Paul Newmans of the music business or something. And I'm awful glad you're there. I'm looking forward to where you take the listeners and the people that are wanting to acquire music in a fair way. And it's a good thing that you're doing this for so many people. And any of you new young musicians out there, maybe some of you others that have been doing this for years that are looking for a new way to spread your music and its availability, check out mysongstore.com. It could be your song store.
And I just want to let you know that through the years, I've worn the binary code off of my CD of Will the Circle Be Unbroken?
Well, there's a remastered version that I remastered myself in 2002 that sounds better than the one the company put out in 1987, I think it was. They used a copy of a copy in reverse stereo, and it was horrible. I remastered it, and the remastering, when it came out, got a 7-page story in Mixed Magazine on how good it sounded, so I guess it worked.
That's the one I've been listening to. Plus
good.
Plus the LP.
Good. And Gino?
Yes.
And Richard?
Yep.
Thank you.
Hi, you're welcome. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks, John.
Hey, big boss man, can you?